Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, what a wonderful and glorious Wednesday morning it is in Chicago and elsewhere in the world. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
How's your Piccadilly today? Any issues?
No issues, pal. Had a great little L ride here, or I guess you call it the tube.
They have the loop.
I keep saying things like, yeah, we got, you know, don't forget, we got to get to O'Hare. You know, no, it's Heathrow. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't adapt. This culture must adapt to me. I'm with this. I had an amazing experience yesterday. You know, the maids didn't show up at the room, so I called
downstairs. I believe
downstairs,
they're housekeepers.
Whatever they are. I called down.
Those stewardesses didn't give
like,
me any coffee when I was asking for it.
Those ladies didn't come in here, so they sent
my mom was a
up.
Stewardess once, but that was like 1,000 years ago. I think they're flight attendants now.
The flight attendants, when they first started, had to be nurses. Did you know that? When they first started aviation as a, what would you call it, commercial enterprise,
mm-hmm.
The flight attendants had to be nurses because they didn't know who might drop, who might keel over, how.
And even as late as the 70s, they couldn't get pregnant because my aunt was a flight attendant, then a stewardess on American Airlines, and married, they had, you know, pregnant with their first child, and she was fired. And
oh, you're kidding.
No, there was a class action lawsuit that went on for a couple decades. And, you know, eventually the airlines, at least American, had to reinstate her like 20, 30 years later with a full seniority and back pay.
I'm glad you clarified that because when you said they couldn't get pregnant, I thought, what was wrong?
Something with the atmosphere?
What happened?
You know, they liked the nurse aspect, but they also liked the aspect that, you know, they were, you know, pretty.
Uh-huh. So finally this gentleman comes up to help straighten up the room and everything. And the guy says, do you want me to Hoover? That's what it's hoovering is when you,
yeah.
And I said to the guy, and I'm not kidding. I said, no, but we do need some Kleenex. And he was utterly befuddled.
Oh,
what is Kleenex?
You just went brand name on him.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
can
you get me
we're
a Coke?
We're on a Kleenex over here. And the guy is like, oh, tissue? You need facial tissue.
But you just said Hoover. So vacuum.
I know.
Yeah, right.
What game are we playing, pal?
Yeah, what are the rules? What are the rules here? Can I get a Coke? What?
I need a Hamilton Beach.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know.
Is that a blender?
I want to make myself,
yeah.
A special type of drink. Great night in Chicago sports and certainly a great night in sports generally if you count the World Cup yesterday as a night game as it was here. A lot of fun to watch that. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Brian, but the Screamers and Howlers podcast, we did our picks for the World Cup.
Yes.
And one of us took Germany. The Germans, of course, eliminated in the opening round.
Yes.
And then,
mm-hmm.
And that same person doubled back and took Belgium, and they were eliminated yesterday. And the other of us, and I won't say who's who, but I took France, and they're in the World Cup final. So I really feel like...
So you're in London, you see France.
Yeah, I see Kevbo's underpants. Cause he really... Yeah, they didn't make it. Sweden didn't make
it. And 1-0, right?
And 1-0.
Belgium could have had two or three goals.
France could have had two or three goals.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I thought it was a really well played game, and I thought France deserved the victory. But then again, I'm watching it impartially, so it's hard for me to judge because I was desperately hoping France, who I also invested in, would manage
to win.
Oh,
there
that
you
game.
Go. That's a daily stop now, isn't it, Ladbrokes?
I hate to say it, but gotten to know a couple of the gentlemen there early morning.
while the housekeeper's hoovering the room, you're over there.
Yeah, I'm over there littering the place with pounds, sadly.
Yeah. Was France? They were favored, certainly. Were they a heavy favorite? Did you?
No. It's fair enough. It was fairly even.
Okay.
And tonight I will have to make my investment after the show. But I believe just out of orneriness, I may go against the three lions. I may invest in Croatia, even though I shouldn't. I should just lay off. But you know how
are
it
you
goes.
Ahead?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I am.
Well,
so.
Then I would
not incredibly ahead, but enough to.
That means you didn't bet on Dylan Covey and.
We talked about poor Dylan Covey, yeah. and unfortunately, and it wasn't all Dylan.
No,
Covey.
No, the bullpen decided to join the group.
They decided to let a 111 hitter hit a grand slam, which is always a question.
You go, we go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're all going to just go, pass balls, wild pitches. It was an ugly night.
Wild pitch.
The good news is the former White Sox player against another former White Sox player, and how about that?
Derek Holland against Q.
Our old
Quindana.
Buddy, the Dutch Oven. That's yes. Our friend, Brian. We've had him on the show.
Yeah,
and he did his Harry Carey impersonation at one point.
Of course, he always does. That's
I thought he pitched very well. I was impressed by him. But
yeah, God bless. The Cubs win, and Quintana was terrific for six innings. And the bullpen, I mean, God bless them, because where would the Cubs be without him? Carl Edwards Jr. striking out the side in the seventh.
Great to see him back healthy.
Terrific. I mean, at some point, right, the offense and the starting pitching is all going to come together for one long streak, maybe in October. And we said it yesterday, we just assume the Cubs are in first place, but, you know, the Brewers went ahead and won yesterday again because they should against Miami. But, they're just still sitting there 1.5 back, but I guess looking last night, it was more about Quintana's start and you know, just be happy the Cubs found a way to get a couple runs across the board. It wasn't like – How about Victor Caratini?
Yes,
filling in for
right.
Anthony Rizzo, and we'll
which
talk.
Is about, weird.
Yeah,
yep.
We'll talk about Anthony Rizzo in a little bit, but it's they're finding a way to at some point the offense with the 10 runs a game and the starting pitching will come together, right? That's going
to
happen.
Well, I go back to it. We look at the Brewers, and it's just considered a formality. The
right.
Cubs, well, and now let's introduce the Cubs as they pass by the Brewers. It just seems like it's something that's bound to happen, and we're just waiting for the town crier to yell it. I'm obviously in London, so it's there's all sorts of weird stuff going on around here. My mind is warped with it. But that's what it feels like. It just feels like a formality. What if they actually do go out and get Manny Machado? What if they actually make a move and improve their pitching?
Manny Machado, two home runs last night, and there are about 20 scouts sitting there watching them.
Yeah. And everybody's in now, and everybody's bidding.
Every day, the Red Sox want him now. Everybody, the list of
the teams. Yankees aren't as hot on it as you thought, and watch, he's going to end up with the Dodgers. I just think he's going to end up with the Dodgers. They're just kind of – they're choosing players that they want from the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are playing this game of, oh, no, not that guy. Oh, no.
So if you're a Cubs fan, would you rather have him go to L.A. with the likelihood you meet him in the important games in October because we all just assume it's a formality that the Cubs will win the Central, or do you respect the Brewers enough that if they do swoop in and find a way to land Machado – you think that could be the guy that puts them over the top and keeps you from getting to important games in October?
That is a really interesting question. I would imagine.
Who would have guessed? Who
would probably, believe it or not, prefer them in Milwaukee, right? Because you feel like you're better than them regardless.
Right.
And heading him to the Dodgers is a little bit scary because the one thing is, you know, the Cubs live in the division title game and the conference championship, but they want to get to the World Series, so you don't want to help that team in any way. So it's that's a really good question, Brian. Unfortunately, not one of the questions we're going to discuss next in the 5 at 5. There's always tomorrow. We'll get to that soon enough.
Well,
and we can talk about it later in the program.
Sometimes your tomorrows are limited.
Speaking of limited tomorrow, we have some injury news with the White Sox.
I want to talk
failure
about
galore.
That too.
Yes, we'll get into that. We'll talk about what's going on with your Chicago Cubs, and we'll even
don't sleep on Wendell Carter. We got some Wendell Carter.
Oh, we got to get to Wendell Carter. He had 23 points, and nobody took a swing at Trey Young. That's
ridiculous. But how about that? He decided to look like Trey Young from midseason last year against the Bulls defense.
Yeah, he took like all his stats from the first three games, and he just applied them to the Bulls. He really played significantly better. So congratulations to him. And the Bulls lost a summer league game. We're not going to get worked up about it. But we have the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully. It's Handley. It's Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Do you view reports of internal discussions among Cubs brass about trading for a veteran leader like Adam Jones or Curtis Granderson as an admission of a leadership void in the Cubs clubhouse?
It's interesting, Ray. When I read that yesterday from Kenny in the Athletic.
Kenny Rosenthal, guys.
Kenny Rosenthal, the Athletic, guys. I just talked to a general manager who told
guys.
Me the Cubs are. I really thought
to myself.
Let me
fix my bow tie, guys.
Yes. I thought to myself, wow, we have just completely walked away and not discussed this idea that last year in the playoffs, part of the slump may have been a bit of a vacuum. And I don't believe there is a void necessarily. I think Joe does a great job with those guys. But when you stop and think about it, who's the leader on the Cubs? It's Anthony Rizzo. What's going on with Anthony Rizzo? Well, he's having a bit of an off year. He's been slumping, started with some off-the-field stuff and his old high school and all that stuff. And he's never really been in rhythm and been able to light guys up. So who are the veteran leaders of this team? Well, you think about Hayward. He wasn't very good last year. Obviously, this year, he's having a much better season. But does he have the gravitas of the good years behind him that he can – and is that his personality? I mean, when he joined the Cubs, he was a guy that supposedly wanted to be here because of all the young talent, didn't want to be the guy, so to speak. So then you think, well, there's obviously John Lester, but that's with the pitchers. Okay, Ben Zobrist. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I honestly got to think Ben Zobrist might be a little bit of a weirdo. He might be the kind of guy that just goes in. He goes in, he does his own thing. He does it weird. He does his own little thing. The mind of Zoe. He's going to tell you what he needs.
His very own. Come
but
on
he's
now.
Not. He's not this big personality reaching out to everyone and talking to everyone. He's more like little, you know, clutch his bat and stare
what
at the pitcher.
What a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney.
That is what I'm trying to tell you. He's not. I don't see him.
Why do you hate his wife?
Yeah.
You don't like her music?
I love her music.
You don't.
I think he might be. I think it's magical, and I love listening to it.
El Mago.
I just think he might be the kind of guy that is more.
I've never heard this.
I don't know if you call it aloof, but just
see, Dustin goes away for a week, and then Mully's got to fill the void.
He's on his own. He's not. It's not like
he's
not
aloof.
So. All of us. No, I'm talking about personality-wise. I'm talking
really?
About. I don't see him as a leader. I don't see him as David Ross slapping
no.
everyone on the rear end and giving everyone some tough love.
Here's a
I
ball
see
of
him,
Rossios or
I
Rossos
see him
or
as a guy. Yes,
so
he's just doing his own thing. Is what I'm trying to say.
Well,
no one can duplicate his version of life. His mind is just so unfiltered.
Well, you know, it was interesting when we brought this up to Len Casper because we had him on right after the report, the tweet came out from Ken Rosenthal, and Len said, "Well, it's probably more about getting depth and you know, adding an." No, the report specifically said that the Cubs were looking for a David Ross type. They were looking for a guy in the clubhouse who, you know, outwardly is everybody's friend and the best teammate in the world. But in the clubhouse, David Ross was the first guy to get in a guy's face, even in the
right.
dugout, right? If you didn't honor, didn't respect 90, if you screwed up something.
That's
if you didn't,
not so.
No, that's not. And you know what? It doesn't appear.
He's a weirdo.
Well,
say
I,
it.
I don't, never heard that. I don't know.
I don't mean it that way. I mean just, you know.
Aloof.
He's
a guy who like.
A loner.
He stood, like. Every kid in the neighborhood stood in line for 3 hours outside his house to get an autograph after the World Series, and he
yeah.
stood there and signed for every single one of them.
That doesn't mean that he's an. I'm saying
he just
he wasn't
his,
the guy.
He's just
we're
right.
going over the top.
No,
everyone follow
no.
me. He's
That's
more
Jay
of a guy.
Hay. That's
hey,
Jay
I,
Hay. You can't be
I just,
doing that. You can't
just,
encroach on Jay Hay's.
I just
turf.
Snuck across the line, and I have a battalion of guys in the back that I've taken prisoner. That's the kind of guy he is.
I walked across in Manitoba, and no one was there, so I didn't go through the regular. The border crossing. I find my own little way.
Just for the record, Zoe's the weird guy on this team, managed by Joe Maddon.
That puts it in perspective. Did he read the Mona Lisa? I
That's not weird. That's just offbeat. It's different.
But
More loner.
Ken Rosenthal said that not only have they internal discussions, but they're already reaching out to teams to figure out if they find that guy. I don't know. I mean that says a lot. You mentioned that Anthony Rizzo's season started off with the spring training started off with his high school having a shooting that unfortunately was just another week in the news, but it impacted him greatly and emotionally and all that. And he thought April was in the rearview mirror, and they came out of it a little bit for 2 weeks or so when he went back up to leadoff hitter. But I mean, you look at the numbers right now, and it's horrific. But the leadership thing, I haven't heard a peep about that until yesterday, right? That the front office is looking at the clubhouse and saying, we're missing something, and it's an intangible. And we got to go get a guy. And maybe you said, you mentioned it's all about October. That when the whole lineup is going south and is in a funk, you need a guy who has that half-and-half personality like David Ross, where he can be, everyone's uncle and laugh and joke and keep everything lighthearted, but also light a fire under guys, too. It came out of left field for me, this whole thing. But if Ken Rosenthal says it's not only internal conversation, they're actually picking up the phone and having conversations with other teams, I'm going to buy it. They would know better than I, certainly. But of all the issues on this Cubs team, I didn't think leadership was one of them. But apparently Theo and Jed have other ideas. So I think it's a valid tweet and a valid discussion, and they're having them.
Adam Jones, Curtis Granderson, probably most teams would like to add those guys to their clubhouse. You can't have enough of those guys, I would think. But the problem is, with me with this report, was I walked away wondering, the David Ross angle, was that thrown out there to draw attention to the story? Because we know about his presence and how important he was in 2016 for this team. And you would have to wait until after the trade deadline when rosters expand.
Sure.
Okay. So,
but Adam Jones is making $17 million a year, so he'll clear waivers, right? I mean,
okay, but most likely this player would not make the playoff roster, correct?
Hmm.
Oh, I would imagine he'd have to.
Yeah,
wouldn't he?
I mean, okay.
Somebody's not.
Or does leadership? I mean,
you're talking about being the sixth outfielder if you're added to this team right now.
Well, they are keeping 13 pitchers right now, so there is room if they kept a reasonable number of pitchers, right?
Yeah.
Playoff roster?
There's a chance.
Does that tell you that maybe one of the outfielders is going to go before the trade deadline?
That's right, Ian Happ, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about there, because I don't see anybody else going. Schwarber's not going. He can't. He's representing the Cubs in the Home Run Derby.
How about that?
Bad idea.
Oh, two of them.
How about that?
Bad idea.
Four guys have to do it, and two Cubs are going to have the second half of their season impacted.
Yeah,
by
exactly. Can we go back to that 30-30 question from yesterday? Because I'm saying Baez doesn't get 30 homers. Not if he's in that. No, not if he's the free swinging man of the traveling people. I don't want to see that.
This is a move that the Cubs made a year ago. Something similar. They added Leonis Martin end of the season. He played a little bit. He was used a lot later on in games as a defensive replacement. So in the end, based on where they would be on this roster, and I don't know if they would make even the playoffs, I don't think we should read too much into it, because I have not heard a peep about a lack of leadership from Lester and Rizzo, and it's clearly their clubhouse right now.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't buy it. I do not think you get to the point that the Cubs are at without leadership in that clubhouse. I just absolutely don't buy it. Guys like Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, even if Anthony Rizzo was in a funk and started the year out in a strange way, I just do not buy that. And
when you think Chris Bryant, do you think leadership?
No.
I
think he's another guy that kind of keeps to his own and does his thing.
Yeah, lead by example, certainly. Mm-hmm. I don't
think he's a weirdo, but I think he does his own thing.
Who else? Is anybody else on the weirdo list?
Yeah, I want to hear more about
Sox weirdos? Oh boy!
I mean, really,
lousy with them.
One of them pitched for the Giants last night.
Okay, I will take Chris Bryant off the table and raise the name of John Lester at the beginning of the year. Back at, even before the season started, back in February, Madden said that
Jason Panetti. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray.
Madden said that Lester was showing more of a leadership role heading into this season. Yeah. So I just don't buy that at all.
So there was a void. Yeah. They needed him. And that's not his natural personality, right?
Yeah, and
not a pitcher.
Yeah, I don't think there's a void. I think this points to, these guys are going to – they're probably going to move someone, as Joe just brought up. Ian Happ, Kyle Schwarber, and this is going to be bringing in a veteran like Granderson or Jones would be a luxury move. And why wouldn't you do that if you are heading
here's a texter. How come Madden can't be that guy?
But think about it. I mean, what happened last year when they played the Dodgers, right? The bats all went off.
Yeah.
Nobody got up and started screaming.
No,
then as soon as the season ended, what did they do? They fired the coaching staff.
Yes.
So there was something was wrong somewhere, right?
So I'm not sure that leadership can be forced in terms of acquiring guys like Curtis Granderson or Adam Jones. I think it's organic. So the David Ross leadership aspect was brought upon by relationships with players like John Lester
and the relationship he had with Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
Had both, the young guy and the old guy hanging out, BFFs.
Exactly,
right?
And it develops. It's not something where you can just acquire somebody and immediately he has everybody's earned respect. So, yes, Adam Jones and Curtis Granderson are probably guys that I want in my clubhouse, but I don't necessarily want them anywhere near my baseball field. When Adam Jones is on pace for his worst season ever. He's a negative WAR in basically every category. I don't think it's forced. It's got to be organic, and I don't think it would help at all.
What is more disturbing in terms of the White Sox rebuild, the play of prospects at the major league level, or the mounting injuries in the minor leagues? And is your faith shaken?
When you look at the entirety of it, it's not only the play. I would say it's mostly the injuries. And the Mike Rodolfo thing is interesting because, yesterday when I heard he's going to have Tommy John, we talked about this maybe a month and a half ago. I was like, well, wait a minute. They're going to let him continue to bat even though he can't throw. And it sounded like he was going to ultimately have Tommy John. So the question yesterday was his at-bats worth the month or two they delayed the surgery, because now you're talking about him being available on May 1st of next year instead of spring training. And I guess there's value in the fact that he did have 11 home runs and over 300 at bats and 50 RBI. So Rick Hahn was singing the praises of the development up to the point that he still needed Tommy John surgery. So, I guess I'd rather, if you pretty much knew at the time he was going to ultimately have Tommy John surgery, I would have just gotten it done as quickly as possible so he was available as quickly as possible next year. But maybe the numbers that he put up in the minors right before Monday's evaluation by the doctors and determination that he's going to have Tommy John and shut him down, they apparently think that was more worthwhile than rushing him to the operation and getting him back. So I'd say it's the injuries and or the development in the minor leagues, not necessarily the major leagues, because Mankata's given you good and bad, a lot of good, a lot of not so good. I don't know, do we still consider Tim Anderson a part of this young group and you're evaluating him each and every game? He's been kind of quiet for the most part this season. I would say it's the setback or the fast lane development I thought Kopech was going to have and be up here. We'd be talking about getting him up here now because he's ready to go, and he's not ready to go. So I'd say it's all about the minor league system right now. The development hasn't been nearly as good, and guys like Eloy and then certainly Adolfo and some of the Louis Robert, the injuries have really set them back. And so I'd say the minor leagues are more of a concern right now. But I still think it's not next year. 2 years from now, they better be talking about contending for a division no matter, because you can't just blame injuries like the Bears have done for the last 2-3 years.
Are we ever going to hear some good news on the White Sox? I mean, yesterday, as we expected, they had a shutdown, Avi Garcia. He's back to the DL with the strain on the hamstring. We know what happened with Mike Rodolfo. Remember spring training when there was all the fun stories about Aloy and Louis Robert and Rodolfo, and that's the outfield of the future. Well, guess what? The future is injured down in the minor leagues. Aloy still has a strained left abductor muscle. Louis Robert out, God knows how long, with the sprained ligament in his left thumb, and now Rodolfo has to have the Tommy John surgery. Throw in Dane Dunning, 6 to 8 weeks with a what they're calling a moderate elbow strain. Okay, we'll see. Alec Hansen missed months with the forearm soreness he discovered near opening day. Jake Berger has missed years, right? I mean, he's going to be out for God knows
another
how
year,
long.
Another year, yeah.
Zach Birdie, where's he at? He had Tommy John surgery a year ago, July. Look, that's half of the top 15 prospects, basically, right? All injured, and with Aloy and with Louis Robert, this is not a one-injury thing. They're connecting little niggy-naggy injuries, and it's just really driving me crazy. I won't say my faith is shaken. I just don't understand why they can't have anybody come up and perform like the Atlanta Braves. Isn't that the whole idea? Oh, the Braves have all these guys. Guess what? They all made the All-Star team. The White Sox have all these guys. Guess what? They all made the DL. It just is driving me a little bit insane. And then you look at Moncada, and we haven't seen it. And then you look at Lucas Giolito, who you had hope for at the end of last season. And now this guy, he can't repeat his mechanics from one start to the next. So, yeah, I think that bad things happening at the major league level and maybe worse things happening at the minor league level, the lack of a decent story of good news. Hey, guess what? Jose Abreu is the first White Sox player since 19 to start in an All-Star game. Oh, yeah, and he's in the worst slump of his career. There's nothing happy with the White Sox, nothing. I hope to God that this is as bad as it gets because it seems pretty low.
Well, yeah, it could be. A lot of times in the rebuild, year two ends up being worse than year one, and it can be a bit of a shock to the system. As far as a struggle...
You mean there's a sophomore slump in rebuild?
Yeah. 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 We're seeing
wow.
it. The struggles by the prospects at the major league level, going against the best in the world, young 20s coming up, that's part of the process. That's expected. It didn't seem to happen that long, but we saw it on the north side. The Epstein talked about again and again, just expecting that to happen, kind of what they want to see. They want to see that in the minors a little bit too, and it's definitely going to happen in major league level. Even when Chris Bryant was a rookie, we did see that a little bit once he settled in, going through a little bit of
so
struggles
how they
and how much
adversity?
He struck out.
Yeah,
yeah, they want them to go through those struggles. The injuries, it's frustrating, especially when you see teams that have gone through this process and everything seems to be coming together. Like Mully mentioned, Atlanta and Philly, the Yankees too, how they had a quick rebuild with a few trades and what Milwaukee has done with all of their bullpen arms. The bad part is that you have so many guys with lost seasons, and it just reminds you on the north side how lucky they were. And they didn't deal with these injuries. And sure, they went through the struggles because that happens to most. And it feels like it's not happening as much lately with some of the top prospects, but it does happen to most. My faith is not shaken. I still believe in this, but I think 2020 is a pipe dream. We're looking at more of a five-year rebuild. And maybe it takes...
Five-year rebuild.
Yeah. I think that's what the plan was for the Cubs. I mean, part of it was, oh, maybe we get Manny Machado at the beginning of the year.
Well,
I mean, come on.
That was
why?
The pipe dream.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantasy baseball.
But any top free agent, at this, based on what you've seen, I get buying in. Sox fans are buying into what they'll see down the road. But why would you, as a major leaguer, maybe near the tail end of your prime, not that Machado is, but he's an exception to the rule, but why would you come to the Sox right now until you start to see something?
You trade for the guy, but the whole idea that they were going to woo him and he was going to be here and like, I can't go anywhere else. I'm not going to be.
Chris Sale, 2019. He loved wearing that jersey.
Why would you?
Not that jersey.
Why would you leave?
That other jersey.
No, not that one.
Why would you leave the Red Sox? And they're probably going to have more money for him. I'm just saying. And 2020 is the fourth year of the rebuild. So, yeah, it could take longer, but over the long haul, I think this is going to work. My faith is not shaken.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a page out of John Fox's book and say, yeah, it's all a problem. It's all a problem. But, I mean, these injuries, unfortunately, they're chunks of time, lost time, as Joe just indicated, right? I mean, you don't want to see Eloy
miss. This is all tricky.
Exactly. You don't want to see Robert miss 2 months, Dane Dunning 6 to 8 weeks, and definitely not Eloy miss the time that he's missing. But they're all shorter-term injuries. Now, when you, it's really unfortunate when you think of Jake Berger and two Achilles injuries like that. That's really bad, and who knows what the future is for him.
Well, let me ask you this. Mully's looking for a good story, one good story, right? If you're Rick Hahn and he said that they're not going to rush anybody and they're not going to basically placate fans by offering up a good story, but given the way everything has transpired here, as soon as Eloy is healthy, don't you get him up here sooner than later?
I don't think so either.
Now you can wait a year and get more Eloy on the back end.
What's the point of rushing?
To give someone, you know, like, look, it's still working. Look at this guy. We got him from the Cubs. Remember him? He's hitting home runs every game. How about that? Isn't that a nice story? I mean,
well, if you're a Sox fan, I'd rather have Eloy for one more season guaranteed.
Right.
Well, in terms of just at the major league level, I think I agree with Joe. I mean, this is part of a rebuild. It sucks to watch. It's hard to watch the White Sox play.
That's what
right
I'm
now.
Saying. I mean, Sox math, you know, here, let's get our ratings going. We bring Eloy
get
up.
Get an A.J. Pierzynski bobblehead.
You don't have to stream the minor league games anymore. We'll have Eloy actually up here hitting home runs.
Come out and see Eloy grab his hamstring or his arm. Or,
well, the first 20,000 through the door get to examine his hamstring. Yeah.
They get a free MRI. Yeah.
This is the true test for White Sox fans. Stick it out. Can you stick it out? Because it will be worth the wait when it's all said and done. Absolutely.
We've been spoiled by the Cubs and by the Braves and by the Yankees and by the Brewers and by the Astros. The Astros started their rebuild in what, 2010? They started selling off major league talent. They made a trade with the White Sox in 2013 that was a player to be named later for Brett Myers, and that player to be named later ended up being Chris Davinsky, who was Rookie of the Year, fourth in the voting his rookie year, and an All-Star in his second
year. Do we need
year.
A well-being check for Mully right now? Do you have to bring that up?
But what I'm trying to say is the White Sox still need one of those Chris Davinsky, Jake Arrieta moves to instill confidence. 2010, the Astros were in 2013, SB Nation created an entire website for the Astros gifts called Damn It Astros. It was gifts of the Astros making mistakes. The White Sox are not there yet. It takes 5-6 years. I've got plenty of faith. It just, you got to have patience, I guess.
If Bryce Harper continues to struggle, should that impact the Cubs' interest in him come free agency?
Anybody want to shop in the bargain market? Because apparently Bryce Harper is half price. This guy, they were talking about, $400 million?
Yeah, yeah.
$450 million. He's going to shatter everything. Bryce Harper does not belong in the All-Star game. He's in the All-Star game because the All-Star game, because of where it is, not because of what he's done. I still think Bryce Harper's a great player. I still think there's, I'd love to have him on the South side. I don't know that with what's going on with Hayward. Maybe Hayward's doing well enough this year that you could move him. Is that possible? You could move that contract and you could bring Bryce in, and then you'd have all the Vegas guys happy together. I just think that that's not the move for the Cubs. I think that Manny would be a guy that they could use more long-term than Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper, unfortunately, is going to be – he'll still make $300 million, but he won't make the $400, $450. I mean, this has to cost him money, right?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be his concern was Joe Mann was intentionally walking him and wouldn't let him bat. And now it's everything he hits is into a shift. He can't get the ball out. Either ball's in the bleachers because he's hitting home run, or the ball's in the into the teeth of a shift and he can't get on base. And I can't, he was never a great, great outfielder, but now by all accounts, he's a negative defensive player, negative war. So I don't know what's going on there as well. If the offensive struggles, if he's taking that part of the game into the field, I assume he's cost himself money. He is a former MVP, what, 6-7-time All-Star now? Is this his 7th All-Star appearance, whether he deserves it or not? But, if I'm the Cubs, Can you start dreaming about Clayton Kershaw opting out and maybe leaving Dodgerland? Or is he just, we assume he's ever forever a Dodger?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let him leave.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, that's what you need. You don't need Yu Darvish and what's going on with him. If you're going to spend $300 to $400 million, you know, and I know you normally don't want to do this with pitchers anymore, that's the guy I'd be saving my money up for. And if you want to shock the baseball world and surprise everyone, you know, go find a way to steal Clayton Kershaw. Although with the back issues and everything else, he's still going to get his money, right? Even though this flares up now every year for a time. But the Bryce Harper thing is curious to me because that's not exactly what you need right now. I mean, you assume eventually you're going to have enough power throughout your lineup that if Bryce Harper moving forward is just a home run hitter, that's not what you need for $400 million.
Yeah, I don't think at 25 years old, all of a sudden, Bryce Harper isn't a great baseball player. I still believe in the player, and I think part of it is what's going on around him. The weight of the world is on this guy. They're all in. They jumped the trade deadline by 6 weeks to add to the bullpen because that's how all in they are. And Bryce Harper's last year under contract with Washington, it's a good thing the Capitals ended up winning the Cup. There'd be even more pressure about finally winning a playoff series for them right now. If I were to pick somebody out of the NL East right now, I don't think the Nationals are coming out. I don't even know if they're going to be in the postseason.
Does that mean Davey Martinez is a one and done?
You know, they have a history of cutting managers loose. They're not very patient out there. That could definitely happen. And the attention is all about the batting average, his .215 average, so much lower than what he's had throughout his career. But as Brian mentioned, the power is still there. So just over halfway through the season, he's on pace for 39 home runs. And even though he just has a .215 average, his on base is .368, which is not horrible.
Well, that's because he has like 78 walks or something, right? I mean, he's now just standing there with a bat on his shoulder because he figures he can't, might as well take the walk if they're going to give it to him.
Yeah, 76 walks on the season. The price should come down based on what we've seen this year, but I think the $400 million was just crazy. That's not going to happen. But
he lives in Playoffville.
Now it's in play that Manny Machado's going to get more money
nuts.
Than
he's
him.
He's a squirrel.
Manny Machado's going to get more money than him.
Oh, yeah.
I would still be very interested. I would definitely talk to Bryce Harper, but the price should come down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the struggle should impact anything but the price. I mean, he's Bryce freaking Harper. Come on.
Was that his baptismal name? Mom and dad gave him that middle name?
That's right. That's right. But, I mean, you can't expect – he's a great player, like Joe said. He's still a great player. You can't expect this slump to be like a season-long slump. He's going to break out of it at some point. But, Brian, the point you raised is he really a fit for this team? They don't really need him at this point, but – We'll see what happens. Things are going to change at the trade deadline with the Cubs, potentially.
Can Cubs fans handle another massive contract without the performance to back it up completely?
Oh, boy.
Can they handle that? Because, I mean, I think he's still probably going to get upwards of $290 to $300 million.
Sure.
Yeah,
it
he's
just
still
going to
get
one.
That from somebody. Yeah. And Joe said he's 25. You're not going to throw Bryce Harper's potential out on the street just for one poor half season.
Did you watch the Belgium-France semifinal yesterday? And will you watch the England-Croatia matchup today? Also, will you watch the World Cup final? And who will win it all?
I did not watch that yesterday, although, frankly, I forgot it was on. I actually thought I wanted to watch it, and then I started running around doing some errands, and then I heard the score. I was driving around in the car listening to the score, and I heard the result, and I'm like, damn, I wanted to watch that. So, and I didn't DVR it, so shame on me. I will watch England-Croatia, and the final on Sunday, I do believe. Molly, is the final Sunday?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to watch a horse run that day. So I've got more invested in that. So
You don't need action.
No, go drama, go.
Of course I watched Belgium-France and enjoyed it greatly. I will not be watching England-Croatia tonight, even though I'm in London.
Where you got going?
I'm going to the Globe Theater to see The Winter's Tale, and that was prearranged. And, boy, that's going to be a little difficult to stand through.
Is that outdoor?
No, well, it is. It's an open theater, but it's indoor, outdoor. There's no roof, I guess. So if it rains, I'm getting wet.
Retractable?
It's not. No, it's. But it, whatever. I'm looking forward to all the results, and I'll watch the stuff. I'm going to be in Paris for the World Cup final. So when you see all the drunken idiots on the Champs-Élysées, know that I'm in the middle of them. Cheering for France. Even if it's England, I'll be cheering for France. So that's who I want to win, and can't believe I'm going to miss the game tonight, but that's reality.
Wow. I did not watch Belgium-France. I would have watched if I was available. I was recording the podcast at the time, so I wasn't able to see it.
What are the odds?
Do you have money on this, Joe?
No. I'll bet this afternoon, though.
Who are we betting?
I didn't bet any futures or anything like that.
Who are we betting?
I'm listening to Mully. So Mully, here's my question. So you said you like Croatia in
No, I think England can win the game, okay? I think that Croatia has a great midfield. And when I watch soccer, it's all time and space, right? I think Modric is such a great player. I think he's the best player on the field tonight. So I don't know how that translates into a result, but I think it's going to be a much closer game than the people of England believe it to be.
Is there value in Croatia?
That was my question. Yeah. In regulation, Croatia is plus 250, but to advance, it's plus 135.
Right.
Are you expecting people, extra? Or?
I think it could go pretty deep. I think it could even go to penos, and it wouldn't stun me if that happened. And England did win earlier in the tournament on penalty kicks, but they were 0-3 coming into this tournament. So it's... it's hard, man. It's a hard one to call. I do like France overall against either team because I think England has not faced speed at all. And Kylian Mbappe is so fast. I was a defender. When you are playing against a guy like that, the word is called panic. He creates chaos because when he starts running, you're scrambling to try to stay with him, and everybody's worried about where he's on the field, and that opens up other people.
Now he's going to Real Madrid to replace Cristiano Ronaldo. Is that the deal?
He is the second most expensive player in the world. He's at Paris Saint-Germain. I'd be hard-pressed to imagine them really selling him, but it would cost a fortune, and Real Madrid has tons of money, and losing Ronaldo, they need somebody to replace him.
If asked yesterday, I would have said Belgium because I love watching Lukaku and Belgium the way they are playing throughout the World Cup. But since everybody I hear is saying that the Belgium-France winner was going to win the World Cup, so they're saying France, I'm just going to go the other way. I'll take the winner of today. So I'll say Croatia.
And Croatia disappoints traditionally, Joe, just so you know. They get to a certain point in the tournament and then bail out. I thought
that was England.
Yeah, England has a song about that.
Yes, it's the same thing. So I think that's what you're battling is this psychological. I really did believe that Belgium would lose that game because France and Belgium, there is old time rivalries. There are feelings of being the inferior neighbor. It's like Canada, U.S. and everything but ice hockey.
All right. We're very short on time here. So Belgium, France, I missed. England, Croatia, I'll try to watch, but it's encroaching on my nap time this afternoon. So I might
what a
just
life.
I know. What a life we lead. World Cup final, I'm going with England for the sake of the shtick with the annoying song.
I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about the World Cup. It's extremely unauthentic.
It's coming home.
I guess so. I did not watch Belgium, France. I will not watch England, Croatia, and I won't watch the final either.
Oh, you're going to be in Vegas. You got better things to do than that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Double down.
Which
get
first?
That in there, double down.
Lightning round question.
don't be a Rosenblum.
Lightning round question,
pass.
Gentlemen. Which first baseman is more likely to break out of his batting slump, Jose Abreu or Anthony Rizzo?
I think it's Abreu. I think Abreu was playing very well earlier in the year. I think he'll have a better second half. I think that Anthony Rizzo is just having a bad year. It's just not his year.
Boy, it better be Rizzo because it's bleak. Look at his numbers against lefties. No doubles. Two home runs, what, 18? I mean, it's just, I mean, 213, whatever, 210. It's awful. It's got to be a lot better, or the Cubs aren't, doesn't matter what they're going to do at the trade deadline. If Anthony Rizzo is this moving forward and throughout the second half like it's been the first half, they're in trouble.
Jose Abreu bounces back, typically has strong second halves. I see that happening again.
Definitely Anthony Rizzo, because it has to be. So Anthony Rizzo is my pick.
It has to be Rizzo, but it will be Abreu because he's the best first baseman in Chicago.
All right, that is the 5 and 5. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Do you view the internal discussions among Cubs brass about trading for a veteran as admission of a leadership void in the clubhouse? What's more disturbing for you, the White Sox at the major league level or the White Sox injured at the minor league level? Is your faith shaken in the rebuild? If Bryce Harper continues to struggle, could the Cubs get him in a bargain, or will they stay away? Did you watch any of the World Cup stuff, and do you care, and who do you want to win? And which first baseman more likely to break out of their batting slump, is it Jose Abreu or Anthony Rizzo? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.